Let's look at Mark chapter number 6, Mark chapter 6. I had thought about preaching, kind of departing from the Mark series and preaching a different message for New Year, and I just prayed and searched, and the Lord just said, nope, you're going to be right back in Mark, amen. And as I'm jumping into Mark and looking at it, it's just perfect for the New Year. It kind of meshes well with what was given yesterday with the guys and in their messages. And so I want to jump right into Mark chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 30 through 34. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34 to start this morning. The Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." And I'll stop there just for a second, just to kind of bring us up to speed. If you recall, the apostles and Jesus, they were going about the cities there of Galilee, and they came to Nazareth. And in Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, there was a lot of unbelief, and he marveled there. Matter of fact, in verse number 6, it says that he marveled because of their unbelief. And then it says, in order to help deal with the unbelief, he didn't turn from them. No, he just began to teach. And he would send the apostles out to teach and to preach. And he would send them out house to house and in the cities. And I might even have done a little corner preaching, amen, I don't know. But what happened was, is as they began to teach in the city, people began to get interested. And what I would call that is he was able by teaching to get the people on topic. And this is a great formula for where we live today, because there's a lot of unbelief, amen, in our land, in our town, in our cities, in our state, in our country, in the world. And a lot of times Christians feel like the response to that is, I'm gonna go into the closet that the one group left, amen. That's kind of the response. That's the thought there. But the reality is that that's not what Jesus taught us. Jesus said that whenever you encounter unbelief, then that's when you go and you begin to teach, amen. And this is the backdrop to the message that we'll actually, we've already covered that text at one point. But that'll be the backdrop of where we're at today and what we go on from. So in verse number 31, after they've gathered themselves now, the campaign in a sense of preaching and teaching in the towns are over. They've all come together apart. Verse 31 says, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." And so as they're teaching and preaching, people are getting interested. They have questions and all that. And so they're just busy. They're busy about just answering these questions that people have. Truly now they're on topic. Verse 32. "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing." Now they're in a boat. Amen. They're on the Sea of Galilee. They're departing in a boat. And it says this. It says, "And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outward went them, and came together unto him." And so you can kind of picture this thought. The Sea of Galilee is like a really, really big lake. And so as they're going across to another place, they're seeing a depart, and they're running on the shore. So they're going across in the boat, and they're running on the shore to meet up with them where they find themselves a place to land there on the next city. And so they're interested. They're interested in what they've been told. They've been out teaching and preaching, and now the people are interested, but they're tired. But at the same time, even though they're tired, there's a need here, and this is what we're going to see. In verse number 33, again, it says, "The people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for this morning. Thank you for this portion of Scripture and the other portions we'll read here this morning. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. Open our hearts and minds to your word. Teach us something, God, that maybe we hadn't seen before. Connect the dots for us in our life. Lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Help us this morning, dear God, in a special way. Might the Holy Spirit of God have free course to work a work in our midst, Lord, and just captivate everyone from the youngest to the oldest, Lord God. And help us, Lord, just to be able to sit in silence and hear and listen And God, soak it in, God, as you instruct us today from your word. I sure do need your help as a preacher today of this hour. And God, move mightily amongst us, God. Lead and guide me throughout this text, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this text, what we have is, initially, Jesus could do not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The solution was, well, then let's start teaching and preaching. They go out, they start teaching and preaching. Now there's an interest. There's a huge interest. So much so now the people are flocking to the disciples and to Christ, the apostles. They try to depart and get them a little bit of rest. They try to go on vacation and they follow them on vacation. I mean, they're trying to go to a desert place where nothing is, just try to get away from everything. And they follow them along the seashore and show up there in Branson, right there where they're at. They're there to rest, and there they are, right there in Branson, amen. And so they're out and about, here they come, and Jesus looks out and he sees all the people, and he's moved with compassion. And the reason why he's moved with compassion is because he sees a people that have no shepherd. He sees a people that are not being taught truth. He sees a people whose lives have been built on something other than the truth of God. And so because of that, they're empty. They have no certain dwelling place in their own hearts and minds because they're tossed to and fro about every wind of doctrine. They're not settled on the things that they should be settled on. No one is taking the opportunity and time, and they're not listening to those that are actually teaching and preaching truth. And so they see him departing. They run to him. Jesus looks out and he sees them. There's 5 points to this message. A couple I've already mentioned. Number one is the fact that when we go out and teach and preach and we begin to see people respond, we're going to have to see them. We're going to have our eyes opened unto them. We're going to have to be able to perceive and see them such that we as God's people actually see the ones that are coming, see the ones that are interested, see the ones that actually want to know more truth. And number two, we find that once we see the people as Jesus did, we must have compassion on them. But our compassion needs to be for the right reason. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, as Jesus looked on and saw much people, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. Compassion means to feel sympathy toward another, to pity them. Now, why did Christ feel sympathy towards them? Was it because of their physical needs not being met? Was it because their clothes maybe weren't up to standard? Or maybe because he perceived that maybe they weren't getting 3 square meals a day? What was the reason? Was it because their economic status wasn't what maybe it could have been? Was that the reason he saw sympathy for them? Absolutely not. In this text, he reveals why he felt sympathy for them, and it was because they were as sheep having not a shepherd. Amen. In other words, there was nobody that cared for their soul. There was nobody that was trying to get truth to them. Now, I'm well aware that there are some people that we try to get truth to, and quite honestly, they just don't want the truth. Amen. They want whatever else they have going on in life, and they want this, and they want that. They want the riches. They want whatever. They're just following something. I get it. We can't captivate or be in front of everyone and lead everyone. As the old saying goes, amen, you can try to lead a horse to water, amen, but you can't make him drink, amen. And that's true in life. And I understand you can have him lick some salt, amen, and get him to be thirsty, but sometimes that's tough too, amen. But the point is this, is that we can only really help those that want that help. But we can't just sit back and say that nobody wants that help. Because the honest truth is, the way that we do put a salt lick in front of people, amen, is by teaching people the truth. And there is something about the truth that connects with each and every person. God, when he made us, he is our creator, amen. You're not by happenstance, and you weren't just formed over billions of years, amen. There's a God in heaven that has created you. Some 6,000 years ago, the process was started, amen. And unto this day, we find that people are all made the same way after Adam and Eve, amen. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. He brought forth Eve from Adam, and amen. And God has developed the process by which now, through pro creation, people are actually created, amen. And so you didn't crawl out from underneath some rock, amen. You didn't come from some bird or some dinosaur, amen. You actually have real human mother and father, amen. Just like on down through the ages, all have had that same experience, amen. And so God, when he made you, he put within you a little bit of light. That's what John says. And that light, as the word of God is preached, bears witness with your soul. And it's as if when you hear it, you become thirsty for more, amen. Unless, of course, you're hard-hearted, maybe heard it before, turned from it, rejected it. If that's not the case, then you bear witness with the word of God. And you can't explain it, but you know it's true. So as the word of God's read, you're like, man, I don't know why, but I just believe that's truth. Hallelujah, that's the way it works. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God bears witness with it because it's the word of our Creator, amen. He's the one that spoke us into existence, and when we hear his word and hear his voice, something says that's truth, that is right. And that's what was going on. So we can't just sit back and say, all these people out here, different political parties and these different crowds and all that, they're just damned, they're just no good. That is not true, amen. For God so loved the world, amen, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the way that we are able to engage with people is to get them on topic with the truth, amen. And those that it bears witness with and they begin to come out, we need to see them and have compassion on them, just like we see this in this text. And I hope that in this year, 2023, that God would open our eyes unto the true needs of our fellow man around us, amen. Not just to give him a meal, not that that's bad. Not just to give him a coat, not that that's bad. But the true need of mankind is to know their Creator, amen. And come to that place that they're not guided by the falsities and the false media and all just the wickedness today. But they're really guided by the truth, by a shepherd named Jesus Christ and some under-shepherds, amen, that love and care for their souls and help each other. Just like we read this morning in Proverbs chapter number 3, where we actually engage in truth and are guided by that truth and God directs us in the way. This is what Jesus longed for in their lives. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51 says, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. In this text, it's Jeremiah who was looking out, and it was before the southern kingdom's captivity. And he looked out and he saw all of which would be God's people, Israel, turning from the prophet and turning from the truth and turning from the word of God. And as he looked out and beheld it all, his eye affected his heart. Amen. In John chapter 5 and verse 34, it says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. Lift up your eyes. It's so easy to turn a blind eye to what's taking place today. It's so easy to just dismiss it all and act like we're something when in reality we are nothing. Amen. It is so easy just to put the blinders on or put some real dark glasses on and look at the world through those dark glasses. But the reality is, dear saint, that God has given you light for a reason. And it wasn't to take and hide it under a bushel, amen, or to take and hide it under a bed, amen. God has given us light so we can take that light to a lost and dying world, amen. A people who need a shepherd, a people who need light. They're led in darkness, amen. And you and I have what it takes to help them. We should have compassion on those that are walking in darkness today. When Jesus was faced with a condition in which the majority of the people of his town were unbelievers, He was led, and he led the apostles into a teaching and preaching campaign, house to house and throughout a city. And this is how we also are to operate. In Acts chapter 8, just after the Holy Spirit had come, that day of Pentecost, and a bunch of people got saved. Stephen was called before the council. They stoned him, and Saul was consenting unto his death. We find that just after that, in Acts chapter 8, the people were scattered, and it says, and they went everywhere preaching. That is the solution. The solution is not to just throw the thing away, amen, and run and hide and say, oh, I guess we're it. We're the special people. No one knows. We're just going to go hide in our special condition. That is not godly. That is not how God directed us. He said, I think the Great Commission starts with, go, ye therefore, and teach all nations. Go, teaching them, amen. Go and teach. Go and preach. That's the solution. That's what our world needs, amen. If you're waiting until the Republican and Democratic parties figure it out, amen, no, that's not how it works. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it by the political construct of your nation, you'll be saved. Nowhere does it say that. Amen. And so it's us who has the truth, and we should see the need. We should see the people and then be moved to have compassion for the people. Number three, you must see yourself as a conduit for God to use to reach people. That's why we're here on earth. Look at verse number 35, back in our text, Mark chapter number 6. Left my water down here. Can't do that. Mark chapter number 6, verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Watch this. The disciples say this to Jesus, send them away, that they might go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. The disciples look at the condition. We already saw what Jesus thought of what he saw. He saw these people, I mean, walking the shoreline. I mean, just absolutely intent to get to where Jesus and the apostles, the disciples were. And Jesus saw them, and he's like, he is brokenhearted over the thing. He's like, they really need help. They need something. And he knew he could help them. The apostles, the disciples saw it, and their response was, man, send these people away. Send them away. We're here to rest. We came here to rest. We came here to separate ourselves. We came into a desert place where nothing is because we're flat wore out. We are plum tuckered, amen. We are just absolutely spent. We don't got time for this. We can't. So they start throwing excuses out there. Look, Jesus, there's nothing here for them to eat. You're going to have to send them away. And so the disciples looked and they saw a need, a physical need for physical bread. Now, every one of us can miss a meal or two and still be okay. Amen. 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 That's really true of us in here, no doubt. I don't know how skinny these folks were. Amen. But that was really true of us here. We can stand to miss a meal or two. But what they really needed wasn't the bread that came from earth. It was the bread that would come from heaven. And so the apostles, the disciples were looking and said, they need a meal. And Jesus said, you're right, but it's not the meal you're thinking of. Amen. And so they said, send them away because there ain't no McDonald's, no Hardee's, nothing like that around here. Amen. There's no fast food joints around here. And there's a lot of people out here. So send them away. So then go into some cities and find some of them places, get themselves some food. But that's not what Christ was thinking. Now, why did the disciples seek to send them away? I believe, number one, primarily because they saw there was the wrong need. They perceived the wrong need. When they looked, they had compassion, but their compassion was misplaced. It was on their physical condition, and again, not to take away from that, but that wasn't their primary need. And also, I believe it was a little bit selfish because they were tired, and they really did want some rest. And we are subject unto the vanities of this life. And I get it. I know what it's like to be tired, amen. And I get it. Sometimes you just don't want to be be where you're supposed to be. And you sometimes you can't for sickness and whatever, but sometimes it's not really sickness. It's just, we're just flat wore out, amen? And I understand that. And I believe that was there. And no one wants to say, I'm not coming because I'm tired. No one says that. So you have to find a better excuse. And I believe that the apostles found a better excuse. They said, you know what? They need to eat. They need to eat. Send them away so they can eat in the back of their mind and we can get some rest. Amen. Now, at this point, the disciples had something with the people, for the people. There was something going on that they did not recognize. And it is this, and this is very important, I believe, for this new year. They had gained momentum with the people. We've talked before about momentum. It's hard to get some things moving, amen? I mean, if we were to go out in the parking lot and pick the biggest car and it's on a flat surface, I mean, getting that thing, initially getting it rolling, even with wheels, it just takes a lot of effort, right? Probably a number of people, a lot of effort to do so, amen? To get a big rock or something moving, it takes a little bit. But once that thing's rolling, it's easier. It's easier to keep it moving than to let that thing stop and get it moving again, right? Okay, in Christianity, this is so true. In life, this is true. This is true in so many things. Well, we have momentum now. Jesus is going to point this out. We have momentum with these people. Remember, it wasn't long ago, man, they were all unbelievers. Right? So they go out, they start teaching and preaching. Now the people are getting interested. The rock's moving, right? We're getting some momentum going. So much momentum now that they're now coming after them. In the beginning, if they were to sit still and say, we're just going to let everybody come to us, nobody would have come to them. If they were to sit there and say, Jesus, if they want the truth, they could come to us to get it. Well, they didn't know that. They didn't know to come to them. They wouldn't even have chose that at that time. So Jesus sent them out to get the ball rolling. And as they preached the truth, the ball started rolling. And now it's rolling a little too fast for them. Amen? And it's about rolling them over. And so now they're like, whoa, whoa, you got to stop this thing, but you can't do that. That's what we're prone to doing. We're like, no, 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 now it's moving too fast. You can't do that. You have to run with it, amen. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if they're coming to us now, it's not time to take a nap. It's not time to stop. It's not time to let off the gas, amen. It is time to engage. It's time. Listen, God gave them this opportunity. And if God gives them the opportunity, He will supply what's needed for that opportunity to be fully met, amen, with what's needed here. The disciples did not understand that, but Jesus did, amen. Now, they had grown weary in well-doing. And Galatians 6 actually warns us in verse 9, says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, what are some ways that we send people away during times of momentum? What are some ways we can do this in our modern day where, you know, I don't know about you, but we spend a lot of time just trying to get the ball rolling in people's lives. Do we not? Amen? Every time you pass out a track, every time you talk to somebody, every time you give some word of God, you give some counsel, interactions at work, interactions in the marketplace, interactions amongst family, interactions amongst friends. Well, we're constantly trying to get the ball rolling. And we would all agree, by far, that is probably the hardest thing, is to get that thing started, get the conversation started, moving on from the start and even a little past that. Amen. So what are some reasons or some ways that we actually send people away once that ball gets rolling? Number one, by not engaging when they show interest. We like everybody to live on our schedule, don't we? Because we got life planned out. Yeah. Every one of us probably has a phone with a schedule on it. Or at least most of us do, amen. And we try to live by that schedule. And we are no doubt creatures of habit, amen. We like to stay on schedule. And there are some things that you need to stay faithful to because others aren't going to think it's funny if you don't show up for work, amen. There are some things like that you just got to stay on task. I get it. But we like our schedule. right? And I'm with you. I like to sleep at night. Amen? I don't like being up all night. I like going, my body likes it. The older I get, if I can get to bed at a decent hour, amen. It helps, it helps. It's nice if I can actually get a full night's sleep. It's good. But by not engaging, when someone shows interest, in a sense, what we're doing is we're sending them away. The ball's rolling. We don't got time for you right now. I'm tired. I got things to do. I got that. It's true of all, it's true of myself. It's true of all of us. Another way, by not following up after they've shown interest. They've shown some interest, but we just let that fruit kind of die on the vine. We don't follow up there and spend time there and fertilize that thing and water that thing and get it going. We get busy, don't we? And that's one thing about all of our lives. Just at the most inopportune time, we get busy. The enemy might be a part of some of that, amen. Man, I was getting ready for church and a water pipe broke, right? Something like that or whatever. I mean, anything can happen. Is that right? So-and-so has a need and this happened. I got a flat tire, whatever, amen. We were going down the bushcraft thing and we had all kinds of things thrown in our path, amen. It's just the way it is. Things happen. Things are constantly being moved to stop that forward progress. We're constantly being acted upon to stop the momentum. Constantly. Number three, I believe, by seeing a lesser need as more important than the true need. Sometimes we look at a picture of someone's life and we hone in and focus on, man, they need a job. And no doubt, people need to do something to bring income in. Legally, amen. People need to do something. But at the same time, usually the real need is more spiritual than it is physical. I'm not saying don't stop helping physical needs, but just make sure that you recognize the real need, the paramount need in people's lives is that they have a shepherd and that they're being led in the truth. Amen. That's the real need. So don't let yourself be distracted by lesser needs to where then you lose sight of the real need, like we saw there with the disciples. How about by getting upset with someone or bothered by maybe a mannerism, maybe how they present themselves, getting upset with somebody because of what they've said to you or how they've presented. Let me just say, if someone is not saved or if they're not right with God, you might as well just get used to the fact they're probably going to say some things that can hurt your feelings. But there was a couple years back, the theme for that year was don't take it personal. That's what my theme was for the year because I felt like that was constantly being barraged to me, things that I could take personal. But I had to learn. Their issue is not about me. It's not about me. It's never about me. Amen. There's a deeper issue. But if you take things personally and you're easily upset and offended and push people aside because they hurt your little feelings, amen, because you let your feelings get too close to the surface, if you've done that, amen, then you're not going to be able to help them. You're going to let all that momentum, that connection you have. By the way, a connection with people is hard to get, amen. And if you have it, you go door knocking and you tell me if that ain't the hardest thing when you're knocking on a door, a connection with those people that are there, amen. That is the most difficult thing. But if you have that with somebody, why are you going to stop that momentum just because you got your feelers hurt? Because they called you something or said something that you perceived to be against you. Don't let that stop your momentum with that person. How about by thinking that you don't have what they need? That's another reason why we let momentum stop. Because we don't think we can help them. And I've been challenged this year with some people that God's brought into my life. And I'll be honest, I don't feel like I can help them. Amen? But God connected us for a reason. Amen. And after I wrap my head up because I beat it against the wall so many times, it's bleeding. Amen. After all of that, I got to come to the conclusion. If God brought me together with somebody, then he must think that I have what's needed there to help them, amen? So we have to be very careful. And by the way, a lot of y'all might think that you lack in the area of Bible knowledge. Well, and you probably do, and so do I. But you know something. You know something about the Bible. If you've been coming to this church, I guarantee you, you know something about the Bible. Amen. On purpose. Amen. We're all about teaching and preaching the word of God and absolutely doing everything we can to make sure you know some of it. Amen. Well, if God has brought you in connection with somebody, then something that you have, God can bring out from you to give to them, some light. So we got to stop thinking, oh, I'll call the pastor, or I'll call this leader, I'll call that leader, that, because they know more. If God has brought you into connection with that person, and that momentum is there with you and them, it's on you. Stop making an excuse and trying to bow out of those situations. You're there for a reason. Don't send them away. You got some momentum going there. Don't stop it. Amen. How about by letting our weariness cause a disinterest in putting forth the effort come? Don't let our weariness cause a disinterest in helping somebody. Don't let your own physical weariness stop the momentum. Amen. And you may need help, and you ask for help in those times. Amen. But by all means, don't let it stop momentum. Don't let it cause you to pull back. We all start a new year with all kinds of grandiose ideas about what we want to see accomplished in this year. Amen. It's just like the beginning of a week where we get 168 hours for that week. Amen. Or a day where we got 24 hours and we start the day just running. Before you know it, by that night, man, we're just plumb tired and we just want to go to bed. Amen. Same thing's true of a week. The same thing's true of a year. And we start a year off just like last year, I wanted to see 22 souls saved last year. I don't think we hit it. I kind of stopped. I lost count on some things and all that. But the point is this. If we're going to start, then let's stay engaged. Amen. If we're going to be involved in a ministry, you just absolutely work that thing. Amen. Especially when you begin to see some momentum started. What happens in a ministry is we'll be, you know, it's ministries at times very dirty business. Amen. It just is. You find yourself in some crazy places and engaged in some things. You're thinking, what in the world? How did I get here? Amen. And sometimes in ministry, about halfway through, because of how dirty it gets and how hard it is and the things you're engaged in and all that, you grow protective. And you pull back because you don't want to be hurt. Here's the number one way to guarantee you're never hurt in life. Man, don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to anybody. Don't know anybody. Amen. You move yourself up to a faraway island somewhere, amen, where nobody is, just animals and you. And don't talk and engage. That way you'll never get hurt by anybody. Because life, that's what life is all about. Life is about reaching out. Look at Jesus. Look at Paul. Paul said, the more I love, the less I'm loved. Did it stop him? No. Jesus. I mean, Stephen, all of these, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They didn't stop because someone didn't receive it, or it got hard, or it began to cost them physically, or financially, or with reputation. Jesus' reputation was tainted because of who he was trying to reach. Look at that, eating with a bunch of publicans and sinners. What a lowlife. His reputation, I mean, on and on and on. And we tend to pull back at those things because we don't like it. But if God has engaged you in that and you got momentum, don't stop. No. You run even harder. Amen. Look in our text, verse number 37. So what does it take to bring people to a place of believing the gospel, of following a shepherd who knows the truth? Number one, you have to see the people. Number two, that as you see the people, you have to have compassion for them, that they don't have the truth or aren't led in the truth. Number three, you must see yourself as a conduit for God to use to reach people. And then number four, you must realize that you have what others need. And I get it. For some of you young people who've been very sheltered, and I understand that. That's fine. Amen. I believe in keeping the sin out, all that and everything. But at the end of the day, we got to stop being afraid of people. Stop being afraid of people. If you're afraid of people, you'll never reach out to them. What you're afraid of, you will not engage in. I used to be deathly afraid of heights. Then in my job, I had to face it. Amen? Airplanes go high. Right? And they're really tall. They're really tall just sitting on the ground. I had to face that fear. I used to be afraid to speak in front of people. I am not a public speaker. In school, no way am I getting in front of that class. Uh-uh. I had to face that fear. I had to face it. I mean, I can go on and on and on. I used to be afraid of the dark. Literally. I was afraid of the dark. When I was growing up, my brother used to scare me all the time in the dark. All the time. He tormented me. Amen? I just hated it. But you know what? I had to face it. And I put myself in dark situations just so I could overcome it. And I had to just hang on to the scripture. God, I know you're with me. I know you're with me. I'm petrified right now. I'm scared to death right now. God, what should I do? Just trust me. Okay. Okay. God, if I get killed right now, walk through the dark. That's your fault. I'm trusting you. I had to face those. What are your fears? I'm afraid I might lose my kids. Then you probably will. I'm afraid one of my kids might go to the mission field and go to some faraway land that I would never, then they probably will. You got to face those fears and say, God, I'm just going to turn that all over to you. Because the enemy knows your fears. He knows them and he'll exploit them in your life to get you to pull back. Because he knows if that momentum can stop, he's won. If that momentum can just draw back down to a grind, I'm afraid. Perfect. I can stop you now. That's what the enemy thinks. And that's what happens. But that'll never be a recipe for success in your life or anybody else's that you're trying to help. Mark chapter 6, verse 37. He answered and said unto them. So the last thing they said was, you know what? I think it's going to be a good, let's just stop. Let's just pull back. Let's just send them away. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. What? They're like, what? Let me give them to eat. And amongst the whole group, all they could come up with was five loaves and two fishes. There's a huge, this is the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men, besides women and children. And they're going, what? Give them to eat. I don't have anything to give them to eat. And this is what he's saying in this text. Give them what you have to eat. Just give them what you have. And he was teaching them something in this text. It says, in this text, it says, give them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we? It's almost like they get kind of smart with Jesus. Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, Jesus, we have five loaves and two fishes. And he commanded them to make them sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and two fishes, he looked up to heaven. And he blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat. I love this last phrase. And were filled. Can I say, if God sends us on an assignment to reach somebody, he knows what we have and he knows what they need. And if need be, he will multiply that little to fill the need. Amen. Look at Mark 6 here. Look at verse number 7. Mark 6, verse number 7. This is how Jesus initially sent them out into the cities. I love this. It says, he called unto him the 12, Mark 6, 7, and began to send them forth by two and two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey. Do you see that? Take nothing for your journey. He was teaching them something. He's the one that's sending them. He's the one that's going to supply for them. He says, save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. But be shod with sandals. Wear some shoes, amen. And not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you. When ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. You say, what did they have to go on? They had the word of truth. And he showed them, all you need is what I've given to you. I will supply everything else you need along the way. You just go, and freely you've been given, you freely give. Just give what I've given you to give them. The miracle of Christ feeding of the 5,000 in our text is a spiritual truth, amen. We always think that we don't have enough to help somebody, amen. But the reality is, you at least have 5 loaves and 2 fishes of scripture, amen. And we need to get busy feeding people with what we have. And if you want more, amen, do some study, memorize, search the scriptures, amen. And you'll be surprised how God will take what you just studied and then allow you to give that out to somebody in that next day or next week. Those people would have been okay to skip a meal. They just walked completely halfway around the sea, amen, to meet up with Christ and his disciples, amen. What was the reason Christ had compassion? Because of truth. It wasn't because of physical bread. It was because of truth. They lacked truth. And what is bread likened to in the scripture? John chapter 6 likens the bread unto the word of God, Jesus Christ himself, and the very truths found in the scripture, John 6, 32 through 35. In 2023, we need to learn how to gain momentum in reaching the lost and then keep that momentum by not pulling back and sending them away. Aren't you tired of constantly starting over? Got some momentum going. Oh, it's getting hard. Oh, I'm just gonna stop. I need to rest. Oh, I start seeing this in someone's life. This is great. Oh no, now I got this to do and this to do and that to do. Before you know it, back to a halt. Man, now we gotta start over again. In our own lives. Man, I'm going to start off this year. I'm going to start reading my Bible and praying every day. And by the way, I'm setting out. I had another pastor friend call me. We're getting together once a week just for prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's wonderful. I can't wait. And I just need to spend more time in prayer. And I already have this year. Amen. Just putting new things in place. But you know what? That can't stop. You might be one that says, you know what? I've struggled with just reading my Bible every day. Well, this year, start it and don't let it stop. Because that one day it stops, man, now you got to get that thing started all over again. It's like pushing that thing to get that thing going again. In our own lives, listen, I realize it is a challenge to be faithful to church. But guess what? It's the first service of the year. You're here. The ball's rolling. The ball's rolling. Don't let it stop. Because as soon as it does, you say, yeah, but it costs money to get here. Yeah, but you know what? You're paying far more than gasoline by not being here. Amen. Far more, amen. My family, we have been helped. You say, yeah, but you're the pastor. Of course you're here. By the way, I was faithful well before I was the pastor, amen. Wouldn't have been qualified, amen. If I couldn't even have been faithful to church, rule my own house well, to even be considered for a position like this. So what are you saying? Learn how to get some momentum and not lose it. Get some momentum and don't lose it. Learn how to pass out tracts. Learn how to talk to people. And as someone responds, don't let it die there. Stay engaged. We all got phones. Texting's easy. People, I mean, how easy? Not that shouldn't be the entirety of your communication, but it's something. Amen. Email, whatever other media you got, amen. It's easy. Still need to do some personal visits for sure. Don't lose momentum this year. In 2023, put some things in place and don't pull back. And I guarantee you, as soon as you make it a point to keep momentum, your whole world's going to fall apart. And all these problems are going to happen to stop you. That's how the enemy works. You'd be surprised. You're going to be like, I can't believe that person thinks that of me. You're going to be moved to be offended, maybe at me, others. Everything will come your way. Why? Because the devil does not want you to keep momentum. in your Christian life. He wants you to be a loser. He wants you to let that big old rock that you're trying to push, he wants it to roll back over you. He wants it to squash you. But that's not what God intends. Lastly, look at Mark 10. Mark 10. We should be very careful about pulling back unless God clearly tells us to do so. In Matthew chapter 10, again, God was giving assignments here. He says in chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was their assignment for that time. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. And they were given those assigned gifts in that time for a reason. Raise the dead, cast out devils. Watch this. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats nor shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And you can study it out. I believe this is a totally separate situation than what we see in Mark. Number one, this was down in Jerusalem. The other one's up in the Galilee area. Totally separate. A lot of them wanted to kind of, if you follow a Bible that actually tries to put all those things together, synoptic, and they'll try to marry Matthew 10 with Mark 6. It's not. It's different. The area is different. It's very similar, which makes sense since Jesus is the same one doing the sending. What I want you to notice about this is the fact that he says, freely ye have received, freely give. Do you know everything God has given to you? Everything. If you're married, your spouse. If you have children, your children. Your mind, if you still have it. Your health, whatever's left of it. Your senses, the scripture that you've been able to hide in your heart. Your understanding that you've come to know through study of the word. Everything that you have, your bank accounts, the vehicle out in the parking lot, the lands, the properties, everything that God has given to you. He's given it to you for a reason, and it's not so that you can hoard it. You say, how do you know that? Because you can't take it with you. Not one of us is going to have a big old U-Haul behind us, amen, heading down to the graveyard, amen, say, well, there goes Pastor Kaiser. Man, look at all that stuff he had. No, that's not how it works. It all gets dispersed. Stays here on earth, don't it? Everything God has given to us, freely you've received. Say, I worked for that. Really? Did you work for that with something God gave you? I like the old atheist says, oh, I could do everything God does and all that. And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, start talking about creation and all that. And the atheist says, well, he starts gathering up some dirt and everything. And the preacher says, hey, go get your own dirt. God made that dirt. Don't be starting with God's dirt. Mister, I don't believe in God. Get your own dirt. You make your own dirt. Amen. You make your own structure. You make your own planet to dwell on. Don't use what God made. Use your own. Everything we have, we can trace back to God's been good to us. And he's given you what you have for a reason. Not so you can hoard it and you can think, look how great I am. No, the reality is, if you think yourself to be something, then you're nothing. We owe God everything. And know this, God has given you these things for a reason. You're accountable to him. Be a good steward of those things. And as you gain momentum in your Christianity, in life with others, at all costs, don't lose that momentum. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Oh, God, thank you for this new year. God, I praise your holy name, God. And I thank you, God, for everything, God, that you've blessed me to have. But I know it's not just mine, God, it's yours. And you've given it to me for purpose. God, you've given it to me so that I can gain advantage in this world to help somebody come to a place that they can have a shepherd, that they can be introduced to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, and be led by the truth. God, I didn't hear the gospel one time until I was 22 years of age, never heard the truth one time.
And yet, oh God, when it came to me, I knew it was right. I knew, God, that it was your word. And then the process, the time when I was 25, came to know Christ as my Savior, and I gained salvation. Hallelujah. But God, it's yours, it's not mine. God, thank you for what you've given. Help me in this year to be better at using what you've given me for your honor, your glory, and the help of others, that they might come to know you. God, help me, Lord, not to lose momentum in the right things in my life as I work with others. God, help me not to get tired or grow weary or allow the distractions of this life to keep me from what I know that I should be doing for you and for others. God, help us, I pray. Help us, Lord, to understand that momentum is a precious thing. And once we get it, let it not stop. Let us not stop it. Let us not, as the disciples said, send them away. Let that stop. All that work that had gone forth to bring those people to that point, and the disciples were willing to throw it all away. Send them away. Oh, God, help that not be us. Thank you, God, for this new year. Help now, I pray, in this invitation time, in Jesus' name.